Paid program by Earnest Financial. The views and opinions are solely those of the hosts and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
You're listening to the Health and Wealth Radio Network.
The following program contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Time for the legal disclaimer. All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives before implementation. So there. Hear that sound? You know what that means.
Can you say that's a little out of date? That was a best of open right there.
Uh-huh.
How about that? Welcome to the Health and Wealth Show, where mistakes are intentional, and we try to cover up and just keep it going. How's everybody?
Well, like a cat, just cover it up and keep on going.
Just cover up, keep moving.
Wonderful tonight.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
We're good, Rusty. David.
Rick Bargery joins us here on the program, and happy birthday to Luke. Yeah. The Velvet String Bean himself, we gave him something for his birthday.
Oh, there you go.
I brought it on in because I knew you were going to be a little bit late getting
here. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about
that. But we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. I don't know exactly what we're going to do since I messed that up, but I do have... Let me go ahead and do this other thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Put it on.
Because I had this
I'm sure it's good stuff.
Let's see. This is something that's topical.
That's where you... Look.
Oh, my gracious. Everything is just...
jumbled up?
It's just gone berserk here.
That's what looked my paperwork looked like.
Hello, sports fans. Chris Cleats here with another deformative sports report. And the big news today is MSU's 42-25 victory over Clemson for the national championship. And here in studio with us today is Coach Orgeron. And his interpreter, third-string tight end Tyrone Bubba Jr.
What up, y'all?
Coach, how do you feel about this big victory?
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, and then at halftime, it was about third quarter, and then we didn't know what to do, and then it was a great win.
What'd he say, Tyrone? What'd he say?
Coach say he could dig it.
But Coach, what do you think was the deciding factor? What won you the game?
Our quarterback had a good haircut. We moved the ball.
What did he say, Tyrone? What did he say?
Coach say we play hard. That's what won the game.
Oh, I see. And, Coach, what are your plans for the rest of the postseason?
Well, Chris, we're going to work hard. Then we're going to hold Hoosier.
What did he say, Tyrone? What did he say?
I don't know what the hell he said.
Well, thank you, Coach Orgeron.
Uh-huh.
And thank you, Tyrone Bubba Jr.
Chris, we're going to come on back in the locker room. We're going to hold Nick.
What did he say, Tyrone? What did he say?
He said if you want to come on back to the locker room, we're going to go back there and curse Coach Saban just for fun.
Oh, you go ahead. I'll catch up. Tune in next time when I meet with the Clemson Alumni Association to see if we could get their mascot an outfit that doesn't look like it came from the Dollar Tree. This is Chris Cleats on sports.
Yeah, that's what we were supposed to have.
That was funny. That was too funny.
So various other things.
I thought I was on a person who didn't understand that.
I don't know. Yeah, well, you know, thank goodness.
I did catch the locker room.
Thank goodness Tyrone Bubba Jr. was there, third string halfback. LSU.
Third string halfback.
You heard what he said. He said our quarterback had a good haircut. That other ball looked like a hippie. 272-9228 if you'd like to talk to us. And if you'd like to talk to David about anything that has to do with your money and money matters, you can call him and talk to him off the air a little bit later, 279-7431. And let's see. What else? That's going to be about it for what I got now.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Yeah, you know, talking about locker room talk, you know.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to hear in the locker room.
No, you don't.
And you never know what you're going to see and the stock market. It can go up, it can go down, all around, and it's been going up for so long. And, you know, we were talking about it the other day, the Roaring Twenties.
Yes, and they're back.
The Roaring Twenties, everybody was spending and buying for, I mean, like, the price of things was so out of hand. You know, things are supposed to be based upon the value of what you're buying.
Right.
You know, you I don't know if you remember the Hunt brothers when they cornered silver back in, I think it was the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ran silver up to $50 an ounce.
Wow.
It hadn't got back since.
And
that was crazy.
I saw something that, what's it like? It's like 15 bucks an ounce now? Or it's a troy ounce now. That's a little different than a regular ounce.
Yeah, that's when they measure it in Troy, Alabama, right?
I guess so. Down there at the what is it? Crow's Chicken. They go down there and they measure out the.
I don't know. You can't do barbecue down there anymore. Well, I guess you can, but they closed the good one down.
Did they?
Yeah, well, country barbecues. Right. Oh, closed down.
They all closed. Hey, yeah. We got our first call of the evening. I believe it's Kyle.
Yes.
Kyle, thank you, sir. Kyle. Oh, happy birthday, too.
Thank you.
You're 17 today.
Yeah, 17.
All right. How about that?
Yeah. We can have that song, you know. Right.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Kyle, are you there?
I am here, man. I just wanted to say I got a kick out of that bit that was very loblolly-esque.
Well, you know, that's exactly where Chris Cleats came from. And there was a fellow that he made mention of Irving Loblolly.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a gentleman named Jack Voorhees. And Jack did what I do, but he was a lot better at it. And he had this character named Irving Loblolly. And he was a sports guy. He messed it up worse than Chris Cleats did. And I saw him. I met him one time. I got to meet him. And I asked him, could I play the Chris Cleats for him? And he thought it was pretty funny and gave me his blessing to go carry on and do it. So that's, that came right from Irving Loblolly from back in the 70s.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, boy, he was funny. He and Chick Churn was real good.
Chick Churn and the Chili Dippers and Clyde Pete wrote and the Pulpwood Traffic Report.
Those were classic bits, man.
They
were really, really good.
They were, and what's his name? Jack was just a real nice guy too.
So he's gone.
He has passed away, and Larry went up to visit some of his folks here several years ago, and he brought me back a big CD of a bunch of stuff that he had done, and so he did this lady, and her name was Aunt Amaryllis, and she would come on, and it was him, and she would come on, and, the last time I saw Paris. Oh, it was just so funny. Well, Kyle, we appreciate it, man.
Was Aunt Amaryllis, was she the one behind the zipping the zippers up in the morning?
He would do that. Larry would zip up the zippers. He'd tell ladies to back up to the radio, and he would zip them up, and you'd hear the ladies say, thank you, Larry, and this one voice of, that's a hole up there, Larry, you know.
That's
good stuff, man. All right, y'all have a good show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know what they say. It ain't stealing if you've got permission. So
that's right.
But I've got some of the Loblolly stuff. He did this instead of the Bass Masters, they had the Shad Masters, and they had the golf tournament, and it was the mini mini putt putt over in Millbrook, and one of the big prizes was a lifetime supply of carp fillets, and just crazy stuff like that.
I tell you what, back in the good old days, you know. I keep looking for those good old days, and I don't know. You know, I don't think we ever get back to what we think is the good old days. I guess it's all relative to what you think was the good old days. You know, we're thinking about, the 70s were great. The 70s, that was high inflation. Was that great? No, probably not.
Weren't we waiting in line for gas?
But you know what was real good and cool? The rock music coming out, man, the music in the 70s, that was great.
That was some
of the best music that
can't be beat.
Yeah.
Remember the 70s Preservation Society? they had this thing where you could order these. It was albums and 8-track tapes.
Oh,
those days.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had all the 70s music on there, and you could, you belonged to the 70s Preservation Society.
That reminded me. You ever been down to New Orleans? They got a preservation. Jazz Society.
Mm-hmm. I've been through New Orleans.
They got Preservation Hall, I believe it's called, down there. And you go down there, and them old codgers in there playing that jazz, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's you look at them, and you'd think that they should be dead years ago.
Well, they're smoking, and they're drinking, and they're smoking, and they ain't necessarily smoking stuff you could buy down at the reservation down here. They roll their own, and they're smoking and drinking, and they're playing, and they don't care. They're just just having a big old time.
They've been partying since the beginning of time.
Oh, yeah. Some of these people, too, 300 years old.
I know. Man, it's some good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Oh, well, my dad used to love the one that is walking to New Orleans.
Fats Domino.
Fats Domino, yeah.
You know, it got out one time that Fats was dead.
He did die.
Well, he did finally die, but he wasn't.
I know.
He was not
dead. He drowned.
Dead.
During the 2004, wasn't it 2004? They said he drowned, but he didn't drown.
And he showed up. Hey, man, I'm okay.
I think he floated out somewhere.
But he
kind of fat.
He was just, they called him Fats, you know. but he was just one of those. He was a big old jolly fella, and he just.
They say he was real bashful.
Well, you know, a lot of folks that perform are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't really put that together. They get on stage and they perform and everything, and then they're bashful when you're talking to them one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's kind of different. You don't ever think of it being that way, you know. But
no, you don't.
But they say he was kind of bashful is the reason why he didn't get any bigger than he got, you know.
And, you know, speaking of bashful. That's something you should never be when it comes to your finances. See how Absolutely. I kind of just kind of ease
That
into
is
that?
True.
That's a segue for y'all right there now.
Yeah.
You don't want to be bashful about that because some folks aren't bashful. They'll come get you money.
The government's not bashful about asking you for taxes.
Not at all. They're getting down and dirty now, too.
Oh, man, we're going to have to, I think I'm going to do a seminar or a get-together or some kind of something about the Secure Act. That Secure Act, it was the biggest hoodwink we've seen. Most people say, what in the world are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
We got hoodwinked, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
We have been taxed out the wazoo, and they said they wanted to secure our retirements with the Secure Act, and they have practically taxed us double what they was going to tax us. There's been all kinds of numbers crunched on it recently, and it's unbelievable what they've done to us. So, and nobody knew. I mean, we thought the Republicans were going to, defend us, but they went behind one of those closed doors that they were talking about, and they came out, and all of a sudden, everybody voted for it. And so they made deals. You know how they make them deals? You know?
Oh, yeah. Well,
got high or rolling something back there. I don't know.
Down there were all them jazz musicians
probably
down there in New Orleans.
Out of the basement.
There you go.
And Pelosi probably was out there promising them the world, you know.
Oh, man. She's doing she's got like a brandy IV or something. Yeah. She's just like she's. Have you ever? She's worse than I am right now. I mean, she's up there talking and it's like. She'll say two or three words and stop, and then she'll back up, and then she'll say them again. It's like she's drunk.
Well, have you heard the latest about Elizabeth Warren?
Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah.
No.
You know what she's accusing Bernie of doing?
What?
She accused him. He said he didn't do it. That he said a woman couldn't win the presidency.
Now, I have heard that, and that's supposedly been a while back.
Well, this was recent.
Was it recent?
I read it. It sounded like. And he said, no, I didn't say that. They were supposed to be friends, but now they're not so cozy anymore.
I don't think Bernie knows what he said.
No.
You know, they were talking about it today. There's six left, and I think all of them are over 70, and two or three of them are almost 80.
Yeah, you want to have a president that you got to bury for sure? Almost?
I don't, you know, don't want one. You got to have a sharp stick to poke him and get him to talk, you know.
Yeah.
And how old is Trump? He's like 72 or 73, but he's like a dynamo, man.
I think he might be 71 or two.
He's just like, now, I don't know. You know, it's like, but if you open his shirt, there's a red S on his chest, I think, man. He's,
the orange man rules.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, he stays in style, don't he?
Oh, he's something.
He's got
else.
The best comb over I've ever seen.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll show you mine later. I just realized I got a comb over. It's killing me, man. I tell you, it's just, I hated that. When I was a kid, you know, you got a haircut whether you needed it or not every week.
Oh, yeah.
They took you down and got a haircut. My dad had a comb over.
Oh, really?
Well, I guess I was about 9. I realized I got to looking at mine. The barber cut my hair just like he did my dad's.
Yeah.
So I'm 9 years old with a comb over.
Well,
I'm getting it.
You're a clone.
I'm getting it again now.
Yeah. Well, did you have a bow over, though? You ever had one of them?
Now, what?
A bow over your head haircut.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't even let you pick the bowl you wanted, you know. Yeah.
My uncle used to do bow overs on me.
I swear to God, there's this girl we went to school with, and she had a bowl cut, and I think it looked like they used a Nazi helmet because it came out, went up. Oh, I'm like, see, y'all. It looks like we're getting a phone call.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can call us at 272-9228.
Yep.
And
we'll talk a little bit about money here in just a second.
Yeah, we'll talk about anything you want.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the Secure Act and some other things that, you know, one of the things, you know, a lot of folks want to.
I guess they just were checking on you. Was that a birthday wish?
No, it was just a random caller.
Wrong
number.
Wrong
number.
All right.
Well, okay. I kind of messed my place up there on that wrong number. Okay, I got the wrong track.
It happens, I guess, you know.
Oh, yeah, it does happen, you know. But anyway, what I was about to say is the Secure Act, you know, has changed the name of the game on everything. And one of the things, though, that it did open the honesty up, I'd say honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the government, this is my interpretation of it, because I've been reading a lot about it. My interpretation is that this thing that I've been either praised or blasted about, you know, and it depends on which side of the fence you're on, you know, about this thing called annuities, okay? Annuities are the safe mode way to invest in the market if you're using a fixed indexed annuity, okay?
Right.
Because it can't go down, all right? The government, all of a sudden, after all these years of listening to all these other parties, and I'm not talking about political parties, but, you know, different modes of thinking, and I'm not knocking folks, I'm just trying to talk about the truth here.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, everybody's got an opinion. A Ford's better than a Chevrolet, a Chevrolet's better than a Ford.
You can see a fist fight about that.
You know what
people
I'm saying?
People will fight about that.
You know, no, I'm a Catholic, I'm going to heaven, you're not, you know, you're a Baptist. You know, these kind of crazy things that everybody argues about. But they all want to get to the same place.
Exactly.
They all want to get there safely. They don't want to get run over, killed, ruined before they, you know, get to retirement. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So all of these different things have their weaknesses, and all of these different things have their strengths. Now, the strength of the stock market is that if it goes up, you go up if you're in it.
All right.
But if it goes down, the weakness is you go down. And I don't care what kind of genius you are. Dave Ramsey, you don't know what you're talking about. Quit telling people to put money in a mutual fund before you even decide. You know, most people have to do what they call suitability and talk about, sit down and talk to somebody about what they want to do. You just don't blurt out, put it in a mutual fund. You know, it's just like calling the doctor and say, take some Ampicillin. Well, doc, my foot is hurting. It's not my throat. Oh, okay. I mean, what kind of craziness is going on out there? You know, everybody trying to diagnose without even knowing what your problems are or how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So really and truly, you know, you should be talking about how you feel about things. Are you a risk taker? You know, if you're an extreme risk taker, then you need to take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not one, you don't need to be taking the risk. Now, personally, I'm 65 years old as of, what, three or four days ago? The 11th?
Last week.
I don't want to risk my retirement in the market. I built up some money, and I don't want to lose it. You know why? Because I would like to enjoy my life, what's left of it. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, does that mean that somebody 65 years old doesn't want to risk all their money or risk some of their money? No. Go for it if you want to. But you should be able to sit down with someone and talk about what it is that you like. So where am I going? Where I'm going is about the SECURE Act. The SECURE Act, in its wisdom, I guess you could say, even though it's hoodwinking us on the taxes, they admitted that this thing called an annuity, because they, now they're making it easier. By law, they're making it easier for 401ks to have them. And I think, personally, the reason why they're doing it is because they realize that around the corner, some bad things might be happening to people's retirement if they don't have options to have guaranteed income and if they don't have options to keep them from losing their principal or what they've already have. So, you know, and this is something we've all been talking about for a long time. You know, and I'm not knocking the stock jocks. You know, I used to be one. I'm not knocking the mutual fund people. I used to do that. Look, I've done it all. It's sort of like we were talking about in the 70s. You know, when we lived through the 70s, we had our music and we had our, you know, things we went through. You know, so we know what we're talking about. It's through experience. You learn these things, and what you need to do or what you should have done, you learn by the school of hard, what, flapjacks?
Knocks.
Oh, yeah.
You got hard flapjacks. That's bad. You don't want a hard flapjacks now.
No, but sometimes I think I've been slapped in the face by a flapjack. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, I sat up here and I talk about, oh, there may be a correction around the corner, all this. Nobody knows when the correction's coming. But, you know, if you do have a little bit of intuition, if you do look back in the 20s, the 1920s, now we're in the 2020s, don't you kind of see some parallels right now? In other words, don't you kind of see everything euphoric right now? It's a good thing. It's a good thing while it lasts. The thing is, you know, remember that old story about the ant and the grasshopper?
Oh yeah, we've talked about that for a while, hadn't we?
Yeah, you know, it's good right now. Why can't we be more like an ant and save some of this or protect some of this that we got, instead of playing out there like the grasshopper, like it's never going to end? These good times are this raging stock market. I'm going to call it a raging stock market. That it won't change. It's always changed. But the thing that impressed me the most is it's gone up so high, so fast. It's never done this. It's never lasted this long. What do you think common sense might tell you the next phase is? I'm not saying it's going to be the next phase. Just think about it. What if something goes way up in value? I was talking to a guy today. I was going to go talk to a farmer. I talked to a lot of farmers. He said, David, you know, cows, you know, they went down. He's talking about his, you know, selling his cows. But now they come back up. He said, I think I'm going to sell them before they go back down again. He said it like that. He said, I think I'm going to sell them before they go back down again because I done learned my lesson. You know, and what we got talking about is how cows eat corn versus where a horse eats corn. I bet most. Hey, let's make that a trivial question.
Okay.
If you can tell me the difference in the way a cow eats corn versus how a horse eats corn, I'll give you a $10 Visa card to go eat Texas Roadhouse. Call 272-9228.
And you can have your corn any way you want to.
You can have your corn any way you want it.
Now, I did hear something the other day, and I've been around a few years myself, and I had never heard this. Now, there is a difference between hay you feed a horse and hay you feed a cow. I heard that somewhere. Is that true?
Yeah, I guess, but I really know more about the corn.
The corn, okay.
Yeah, my granddaddy made me maybe go, you know, pull corn off the stalk. We fed it to them before we ground it up or put it in, you know, like now they all put it in feed and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And
I remember having the shell corn. And I remember somebody came up with a, it was old, this old cast iron thing. You drop it down in there and turn it like a meat grinder, and it'll shell it for you.
I've seen
it
that.
It sure did leave a lot of skin on your hands.
I know.
From when you used to shell it the other way.
Yeah.
I just remember picking corn back in my day.
Yeah, yeah.
We were 13, and it was Illinois. Plenty of corn up and around Springfield, Illinois. And the state would hire you out, and you would go out as a teenager and pick corn in the cornfields. So
really?
Ain't much on eating it and chucking it some, but it picked a whole lot of it for money during the summer.
How about that? Sign up for this? And this was
signed up. Signed up for that. Yes.
Summer job? Wow.
I know that. As you can see, the Illinois is a state of destitution today, but there was a lot of things ran by the state up there, and that was one of them. You signed up, and you could pick corn during the summer, you know, as a teenager, and it's the same thing with the fairs there. There was, in Springfield, the state fair was held there, and the state handled all the selling tickets and rides, and the carnies would just have to go to the state, and you as a teenager would go in there and take the money for them and handle the tickets and stuff, and they just ran the machines and all. So,
well, that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a little bit different up there. You know, they got their hands on everything. It's union, and you had to be in the clique to get into it. So
I know they did this here one time. Everybody got to going on about how the carnival folks looked. They was kind of spooky. And then they started dressing up, and they looked a lot more respectable and everything, you know, what scares me is they come in and they put that thing together, that thing you're riding on, they put that together in 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
And you're like,
Do you want to trust your life?
Is it going to work?
It's like a rubber band.
How many bolts has he got left over there in that bucket?
Sort of like riding around on a wheel with one bolt holding, one nut holding.
Jesus, take the wheel. Not that one, the steering wheel.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like anybody wants to call in about the way a horse and a cow eats corn. So let's do another one. Okay. Let's talk about picking cotton. Now, let's don't talk about the cotton machines, that pick the cotton in the field. Let's talk about the old-timey way of picking cotton.
You just walk down through there and you got your
what
sack?
What two ways could you pick cotton, say, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and you're pulling this cotton sack? What were the two ways you could get paid for picking cotton? There was two ways you did it.
Okay.
They wanted you to do one way or the other way, and one way paid you more per pound than the other. What were the two ways that you could pick cotton and get paid for pulling that sack and picking cotton back in the olden days, before they had the machines?
272-9228.
For one $10 Visa card off of a Texas Roadhouse.
Texas Roadhouse,
yes. Yeah. Surely there's some cotton pickers out there.
Or wait just a cotton pick a minute. How long does it take to pick that cotton up?
Yeah.
I know I heard my mom and dad, both of them, they worked with, I think my dad actually, they worked as sharecroppers. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And they would have different stuff they had to pick and everything. And whatever his dad had contracted for, he would have to make this much, and then everything over that he got.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me the other day that his cousin come to stay with him, and he couldn't plow worth a flip. He couldn't keep the road straight and everything. And Daddy said he was like 11 or 12, and he did all the plowing that year, and they took his cousin to the woods, and they cut pulpwood. I think they might have been down there making a little whiskey, too. I'm not sure.
They probably
were.
When I was a kid, I used to run across these stills down at the springs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, up there where I grew up, they didn't call them springs. They called them springs.
There you go.
You know, up there in North Alabama. Well, you know, North Alabama is almost a lot like Arkansas and Tennessee with their dialect, you know.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And they love their R's, like car, far, tar. Down here, they forgot what they were, like door, car, Utah, you know. But that's the old folks, you know. But we got a caller.
I believe Cooter is on the line now. Okay. He's going to give us something good now.
He's going to give us something.
Yeah. Cooter, you there?
Yeah, man. How y'all doing today?
Oh, man. We're doing good.
Y'all bring back so many memories. I grew up on a little farm up north of Alabama.
Uh-huh. Well, I did too, Cooter. Which part of northern Alabama are you in?
Athens was my hometown. But
I know where that is, but I grew up on a sand mountain. You know, up there. That's why I walk with a limp.
That's over on Huntsville side of us.
Yeah, I was on the other side of Huntsville, over there, about 40 miles of crow flies from Huntsville.
There.
I was almost to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And
you're almost Yankee over.
Well, you know, like I was saying, we talked a lot of what we call Yankee Southern. You know, that's what I call it, Yankee Southern. I bet you, if you from up there around Athens, you know what a Yankee Southern is.
I do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Hey, just talking about the fair, when the county fair would come in, this was back, you know, in the late 50s, early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little too young, but my older brothers would get hired on to put them rides together. I mean, they just hired teenage boys, you know, to put them rides together and never had seen a ride before.
Yes. And that's the way it was in Montgomery in the 70s, you know, 70s and 80s. At the fair out here, they would line up out on the fenced area out there, and they would hire the local people to come in and assist them in building and putting it together.
So you're talking about picking cotton.
Yeah.
When the cotton was good, there's a lot of it, we'd pluck it out of the bowl there.
Right.
But then later on, as it got, you know, trying to get the least of good out of it, we'd do what they call strip the stalk.
Well, we had a little bit of a different way. You're close. We didn't call it stripping the stalk. They might have called it that over there in Athens, but on Sand Mountain we had another term. I thought they had that term all across Alabama.
Well, can you say what it is?
I'll say what it is. We called it pulling bows.
Pulling bows.
Uh-huh. Yeah, pulling bows. I can still remember when I was about 9 years old. I you know what a toe sack is?
Yes, sir.
I know what a toe sack is. Like about digging a poke. Burlap bags.
Yeah, those burlap bags. We call them toe sacks.
We call them toe sacks.
Yeah, well, that's because we're Yankee Southerners. We call them toe sacks. But they might have called them that down here. I don't know. But anyway, I made a bag, or should I say a sack, out of a toe sack, and would pull it, you know, down between the stalks there, and you know, everybody else was pulling those fancy bags that had the thing on the belly, you know, and they'd pull in them, and they'd get up to about 200 pounds. I'd get it on up about 30, 40 pounds, but I can still remember what my grandpappy paid me. For bows, he paid 2.5 cents a pound, and for a cotton, he paid 3 cents a pound, and that was probably in 1965.
You have refreshed my memory. It was picking cotton, it was pulling bowls.
That's right.
And then the stripping the stalk. I believe that stripping the stalk may be when you was cheating, when you're doing bow pulling time. You could just grab your fingers, interlace them at the bottom of the stalk, and pull up and take whatever come off and throw it in your bag.
Yeah, we never did strip the stalk, so I'm not. You just taught me something I never didn't know.
We probably wasn't supposed to. Just a little bit of cheating, get some extra weight in your bag. And you talking about corn? My dad, we had a real little, we probably had between 20 and 30 acres of farmland that we were.
Yeah.
And doing the corn, we used to have to go in and chop corn. And all the other kids laugh at us. Man, we never heard about a chopping corn. Go out, you know, chop the grass out of it.
I know, I did it.
We'd go through and we'd pull the ears of corn. We'd throw them in piles on the
ground.
The rows there, and then come along with the truck or trailer later.
Trailer.
Pick them up, throw them on the trailer there.
Yeah, how you bringing back some memories there? You bringing back a memory where my granddaddy told me something. I was about, I guess, about 10, 11 years old.
What's that?
Well, we would pull in the old trailer with a tractor, you know, and he left me out there to pull the corn. He called it pulling corn.
Uh-huh.
He make them piles in the middle of the, you know, you bring the tractor down through there. And he said, you do that. Well, I was tired, so I just sat down. I was wasn't no more than 9 or 10 years old. He'd come back in there and he said, "You ain't going to be worth a," and I'm not going to say the word, or you have to push the little red button down there.
I don't want to push the red button.
He said, "You're not going to be worth a so-and-so as a farmer." And I said, "Don't worry, Grandpa. I ain't going to be one." I called him Papa. Anyway, you brought back a memory.
Which Loretta Lynn had a song of the good old days when times were bad. That's what this feels like sometimes.
Uh-huh.
It was a simpler life, you know, but to think about somebody having to do that now, it's pretty bad.
I know, and people think they got it hard now, you know.
Yep.
Things can get a lot worse. We're really lucky, but you know, my story is just like the old farmers put their corn in the crib and they locked it up and they you know kept it from being the elements getting to it. You need to treat your retirement the same way. You need to take care of it, put it in the crib, and continue to make your crop grow and add to it. But don't put it out there in the weather where it can get all tore up and messed up, you know. I mean,
it won't do you no good.
You know, if you try to pull it too fast and you keep dumping it on the ground somewhere, it might come a rain.
Man, it's just amazing what you tie that back into that. But it fits perfect.
It does.
It does. It really works out like that.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate y'all's show.
Well, thank
and,
you.
I try to listen every day, and on Fridays and weekends, I really miss you.
Well, we appreciate you listening. You know, you can call us anytime. We always love to hear from you.
Yeah, you can call us anytime, and we'll have a cup of coffee with you, but we won't talk on the radio on the weekend.
I appreciate it, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Cooter. Yeah, Daddy always tells me about the stuff they did. And even when I was younger, he had out where my house is now, is a pretty big lot, and he planted that as a garden every year. Mm-hmm. And he thought we needed something to do, so we would be out there working in that garden. And that corn would make corn, and it would make corn. We'd be out there pulling it, filling up garbage cans.
Oh, my.
Like big old plastic garbage cans. And Mama put up as much as she could, and all the ladies in the neighborhood put it up. Finally, we started just throwing it in a pile, like you said, take it down to my Uncle Joe, fed it to his cows.
Oh, yeah.
And then cut the stalks down, took that down there, and the cows eat it. And then when you're going to plant again the next year, you had to get out there with that harrow and get all them the corn stalks out of the ground and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was almost as bad as having to work. It was getting ready to plant it.
I tell you, I love to reminisce about things. You know, you were reminiscing earlier, Rick, about picking that corn, you know.
Yes.
That's how many years ago was that?
Ooh.
See, there's
50.
As on a
50.
Now, what we used to do during
54, 55.
We used to pick up potatoes, and of course we didn't call it picking up potatoes.
Uh huh.
They called it picking up taters. You ever heard of that?
Uh huh. You have to go out and now I've seen some folks that actually go and plow and turn them that way.
Yeah.
And then go out and you had to pick them up.
Yeah,
shake them off.
The Mexicans used to go out there. The migrant workers, should I say? They used to go out there and they'd pick up the potatoes and throw them in these I'd say conveyor kind of things, and they they'd try to even out according to what the size of the potato was going into what and it'd fall in a hole or something. Yeah. And they kind of like they call them I think of what they called them. I think they call them number twos, threes, fours, or something. Uh-huh. I forget exactly what they called those things.
But you know the thing, the difference is today though is the sad thing is that these things aren't available for the youth as it was in our day and our time.
No,
because when I was working and I picked the corn, I also had a paper route that don't exist today. I had two paper routes that I delivered paper on a bicycle every day.
Exactly.
Made money.
Did you ever take any corn and throw it too?
No.
Just wrap the corn up in the paper.
Didn't put the corn in the paper. No,
get a freer of corn today. Huh? Well, we've got Tony on the phone. Let's see what Tony's got for us this evening. Hey, Tony.
Hey guys, how y'all doing tonight?
All right, man, how you doing?
No, I'm doing just fine.
All right.
And all, I was just listening to y'all talk about being out on the old farms and all. You know that stuff is gone nowadays, man. My kids and now my grandkids, they're all missing out on that.
They'll never know.
We used to go for the whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the great aunts and uncles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had a bunch of great uncles. They fought over in Europe during the war and all, and then came home and had their farms and all after that. And even in the early 70s, I had an uncle up there, old Uncle Bunk. He still worked his garden with a mule.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And all. Different world, man. Y'all are just making me remember a bunch of stuff, man. Missing my dad tonight, man. Listening to him talk about the old days.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I tell you what, I never was crazy about picking stuff, but I would sit in shell peas and butter beans. Butter beans kind of, you would get a callus on your thumb if you wasn't careful.
I know.
But it sure was good when they cooked with all them vegetables and everything, all them fresh vegetables.
For real,
man.
Well, like I said, we never did much farming. We would go spend the whole summer with them and get to play farmer.
Yeah.
But you're reminiscing with us. In other words, every one of us had a different experience. You know, you base your life on experience. That's the reason why, like on the financial stuff, I base my life the way I believe on experience. I've seen ups and downs in the markets, and I'm, you know, and them old farmers, you know, whenever they'd get a hold of some money, they wouldn't turn it loose. You know, they'd have a place, they'd squirrel it away.
Mm-hmm.
They probably wouldn't put it in the bank because they didn't trust the banks. You know,
there was a mason jar or a coffee can.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, everybody's had these different experiences, and it's what shapes you into what you are.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm an asset preservationist because I've seen hard times. These kids here today that are putting all this money in the stock market, and I'm all for it if they're real young. But as they get older, you got to use that thing that's sitting on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Things can change. You know, we've seen it. We've seen bad crops. We've seen good crops.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the crops they look like they're looking good, but these crops could be washed out, like if it keeps raining, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I always wanted to be a boneless chicken farmer.
A boneless chicken farmer.
Raise me up some boneless chickens over there and slap out, you know.
That would be kind of a rubbery chicken, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, you kind of have to kind of move them around a little bit every day.
You'd be perfectly good. You'd look good on the Three Stooges.
I'd get out there and, you know, just milking the goat and everything, you know. Yeah. I remember one year, Daddy planted peanuts.
Oh, yeah?
Don't ever plant any peanuts. My Lord, there's enough peanuts comes out of Dothan. There were peanuts. We had peanuts. And then there were some more peanuts, and then we had peanuts on top of that.
You could have run for president if you planted enough peanuts.
Oh, man. No, Jimmy had people pulling peanuts for him. I mean, you get a hold of a stalk, and you pull it up, it's liable to be 20 pounds of peanuts on it, and you got to get all the dirt off of them.
I know.
And if you don't hurry up and do something with them, they'll go bad. They'll get mold on them and everything.
Oh, yeah. They look bad when they come out of the ground.
But then one year, up behind where I live now, there's probably, it was just nothing, just farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Varner, I never will forget, Mr. Varner got back there and he planted the whole thing in watermelons.
Yeah.
And he got all he wanted out of it and was done. He come around and told all those kids, all them watermelons out there, get them. If you want them, get them.
Didn't have to steal them.
Didn't have to steal them.
Dang, so, take all the fun out of it.
So we went out there, and there were some young ladies lived down the street. I was only 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the next youngest one was 7 years older than me. And then her sister was old enough she could drive. Well, we got over there in her car. She had this that Mustang with the hatchback on it, with the back end that you could open up.
Yeah.
We filled that sucker up with watermelons, and we took them and sold them. We were selling them 25 cents. 50 cents, depending on the size, we made a killing.
Yeah.
We sold watermelons all summer long. You get out there and get them before the sun gets them.
Uh-huh.
And, man.
You ever seen the way they take the seeds out of a watermelon and put them on a newspaper, let them dry out? You ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My grandpappy used to have them newspapers all over the yard and all them watermelon seeds out there.
And then
I'd have to go out there and help him stroll them around.
And then what they call
I hated it then.
Get a yelp.
I hated it then.
Yeah, and you miss it now.
I miss it now.
Long for them times now, that's for sure.
And they'd get yellow-meated watermelon. The yellow-meated watermelon, you remember those?
Oh, those are good.
Oh, man. And then they got seedless ones now.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're cheating. They cheat, man. They you know, they just, that's, to me, they ought to just left the watermelon alone, you know. Just I hate those seedless ones. I mean, I buy them because my wife says to buy them, and she don't like the seed ones. But those seed ones taste so much better to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the seedless ones got a few little mutant seeds in it.
A little flat white one.
Yeah. But, you know, what are they doing to us? I mean, the watermelon with those seeds, come on now. You know, I mean, that's like a retirement with no money.
It just ain't right.
It just ain't right.
Just ain't right. Well, Tony, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, well, hey, let me put a quick bug in y'all's ear, man.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Everybody talking about these old memories on the farm and all. I urge everyone to go and record your old family members talking about this stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I sure wish I had a bunch, you know, from my folks. But talk to them. Let them tell you these old stories. You know, my dad used to tell a story. He was born in 26. But he was making as much money as a kid part-time on the weekends as a pin setter at the bowling alley, working all the leagues and all, making a nickel a game. And he was making as much, he said, as all his uncles and all out there farming. Well,
back then, you had a nickel. You put a down payment on a new Ford.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
And all. But, hey, guys, appreciate the show. Y'all do a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Have a good one. That's Tony. Thank you, sir. And
I'm glad folks are listening.
I am, too. And, you know, it's not just us that remember these things.
No.
I remember, now, I said something one time. Wetumpka is about 6 miles from my house.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do today? You need something? Well, I'm going to jump in the car, run over to Wetumpka, pick up something, come back.
Yeah.
You went to town usually on Saturday,
and
Friday or Saturday, one day a week, and you dressed up.
Oh, yeah.
You got your good clothes on to go to town. You might be gone all day.
Oh, yeah.
And then Wetumpka, if you know anything about Wetumpka, Wetumpka ended at the Dairy Queen, and there was a two-lane road came on to Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other end of it was down there where Junior Haynes gas station used to be. That was town. Yeah. But everybody in Elmore County just about was right there on Friday and Saturday.
And you could tell by looking at them whether they were coming or going to town,
right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, clothes they had on.
Yep, yep. And you're going to see everybody you know and a lot of folks you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just amazing now that, you know, I said something about that one time when me and Donald first started dating about, we're going to go to town, y'all. And they just thought that was hilarious because, you know, they lived here in Montgomery and they were, you know, right there at town, you know. But that was a big treat to get to go to town because if you acted right, you might get to go down to the dime store.
Yeah.
And you could actually buy stuff for a dime.
This gave me an idea. Why don't we have a show about sayings?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like little sayings that people say in certain areas of the country. Like for example, I'm fixing to.
Uh-huh, we say that
there's
a lot.
No such thing as I'm fixing to. You know, I mean, they make fun of us. And you know, but all these southern things. And then some of the things in the north we might not know. You know, you probably know some things that that you've not heard in a while, Rick.
Well, the drinks, like I said, Coke.
Yeah, everything down here is Coke.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I was
it's a soda or a pop.
Soda or a pop.
You know, I was at a restaurant in Spokane, Washington, and the lady asked me, "You want a pop?" I'm like, "What I do? What I?" Well, she's going to smack me one. And she wanted to know that pop. I want a soft drink.
So it's a pop in Spokane. What was it? A soda where you grew up?
Soda pop.
Soda pop.
Yeah.
And there's a thing on Andy Griffith about that. Because they always said they were going to go down to the gas station, get a bottle of pop. Well, evidently in that region up there, they didn't say pop. They said soda or soda pop. They just didn't say pop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that kind of slipped through.
Well, have you heard this one? Sody water.
I have.
Go and get me some sody water.
And I never heard this one until I got hip to Jerry Clower. It was a belly washer.
Hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, he gets you one of them cold belly washers, he said. And that was the whole thing with Marcel and the chainsaw. He just wanted a cold belly washer, and he went in there. He didn't have no shoes on and no shirt and his overalls, and the buttons was flopping.
We need to get one of my friends. He was in the business, but he claimed he would live close to old Clowers. So he's got some stories about him. We'll get him to call in someday.
It looks like we've got... I can't read it. What's it saying?
Alan.
I got to get these.
Alan! You need some bifocals.
Well, I got them. They're not focusing like they're supposed to.
They're not focusing.
Alan, you there, bud?
Yes, I am.
What can we do for you?
So, Rusty, was the Greek goddess, was that Uptown Downtown or on the outskirts of town? Where exactly was the Greek goddess?
The Greek goddess was right across, well, kind of, as we say here, catty corner, from the Smokin' S Barbecue, and it's where the new steakhouse is. I can't think of the name of the steakhouse in Wetumpka.
But it's the new steakhouse.
Yes, that's where the Greek goddess was.
Oh, okay.
And if you it seems like they eventually got in with Little Sam's Cafe. I think they had both of them at one time. And if you call down to the Greek and give him enough notice, he would make you a pizza that would put you in a coma. It was so good. Me and this old boy was working at the dollar store, working for my mama. Me and Randall Wilson, we got us a pizza one day, and we were so sorry after lunch, mama sent us both home. We were just like, we just eat too much.
You kind of reminded me of something, talking about pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Was we going to talk more about the pizza thing? Or
now, you want to? You know, I don't know. Did you get the commercial? I sent you. You want me to play it?
Sure.
You just got to talk among yourselves.
Okay. We're talking about pizza.
Talk to Alan.
Okay. Hey, Alan, how you doing? You like pizza,
Alan? I was going to ask if Weasel delivered the pizza. If Weasel, was that the cab driver?
Yeah, he needs a tip. Speaking of cab drivers, I tell you what, I thank goodness for Uber, or is it, how do you call it, Uber? Uber drivers. When I was down in Miami, they said, hey, the bus is going to run every 30 minutes. So it ran starting at 4:30. So it ran 4:30, it ran at 5. It ran at 5:30, it ran at 6. I showed up down there at 6:30. They said, oh, we decided we weren't going to do the 6:30. We're going to wait to 7. I said, why? They said, oh, well, there's not that many people needed at 6:30. I said, well, you didn't tell me. So I picked up my phone and I, you know, hit the Uber app, and they were there in 5 minutes, got me to the airport about, I guess, 15 miles away for $13. $13. Of course, I looked around, and there was the all the taxi drivers. I say, how much? $35 or $40. We'll get you. We'll take you right now. No, I had to just hit the button. I get there for $13. Uber is unbelievable. Now, there's this other one. What's it? Lyft. I tell you something funny about the Lyft and Ubers. I don't know if you've been using them or not. You got to play this thing here, but some of these guys.
Uh-oh.
What happened? We go over there?
Well, I guess he got tired of listening to us, and he just we lost him.
Oh, okay.
He must have just hung up. We were going to talk to him some more. Right?
Oh, okay.
But anyhow,
they'll switch. They'll switch the sign from Uber to Lyft.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
they work for both of them.
They're like independent contractors.
That's right.
Go ahead, play it. This is the new commercial for what we've got going on. This is where we get
the folks at the Health and Wealth Show business. Would like to know if you've ever wanted to own your own business. If the answer is yes, then get ready to take advantage of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Health and Wealth Show is giving you the business. Recently, a well-known local pizza parlor closed its doors, and now it's your chance to step in and take up where they left off. If this sounds like a good deal to you, well, you need to listen to the Health and Wealth Show. Weekday evenings from 6 until 7 on News Talk 93.1. We'll tell you all about it. And for even more information, call David Ernest at 334-279-7431. I dare say nothing like this has ever happened in the history of Montgomery Radio. Don't quote me on that. I just can't think of anything. For all the details, listen to the Health and Wealth Show. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 WACV. When the moon hits you, I like a big pizza pie. That's some more.
Moon hits me in the eye. Man, that was something. But that's what we've got going on. We are actually going to give you the business.
That's right. Well, somebody is. We're not.
Well, somebody will.
Yeah. The disclaimer is that this is not Ernest Financial giving away a business.
This is
another business giving away a business. We're just advertising.
I can fix that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right. It's okay. It's all right. I don't think it'll cause a problem. But Anyway, it's been fun reminiscing, and I know we got about, what, 4 or 5 minutes left?
Two or three minutes. Yeah. I'm finding us a song that has something to do with what we've been doing.
But, you know, hope the reminiscing brought back some memories and, you know, and was fun. But, you know, really, you know, the reason why I am the way I am is because I've seen good, bad, and ugly of everything. And I just don't want my clients or anyone else to, you know, kind of like have their retirement messed up on the tail end of things. And, you know, it's just good to have information of all angles. And so if you have any questions, feel free to call me at
279-7431. And, you know, I've seen that good, bad, and ugly too, but usually that all happens the first thing in the morning when I look in the mirror.
I thought it was a movie.
It happens. But here's something I think you'll like. This is a little something to go out with this evening. We'll be back tomorrow night. It's going to be Wednesday night, tomorrow night. Happy birthday again, by the way.
Thank you.
You got any big plans real quick?
I think I'm just going to go home and eat some cake. I think that's
cake.
Pretty much it.
All right. Cake's always good. Here's a little something. Johnny Cash, Never Picked Cotton.
I never picked cotton. Like my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine. When I was just a baby, too little for the cotton sack, I played in the dirt while the others worked, till they couldn't straighten up their backs. And I made myself a promise, when I was old enough to run, that I'd never stay a single day in that Oklahoma sun. And I never picked cotton like my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine. Folks said that I grew up early, and the farm couldn't hold me then, so I stole 10 bucks and a pickup truck, and I never went back again. And it was fast cars and whiskey, long-legged girls and fun. I had everything that money could bring, and I took it all with a gun. And I never picked cotton like my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine. It was Saturday night in Memphis when a redneck grabbed my shirt, and he said, go back to your cotton sack. I left him lying in the dirt, and they'll take me in the morning to the gallows just outside. And in the time I've got, there ain't a hell of a lot I can look back on with pride. But I never picked cotton like my mother did, and my brother did, and my sister did, and my daddy died young, working in a coal mine. I never picked cotton.